Hi, this is Dee Blick. Welcome to Lead Well, Live Well for UK Health Radio. Hello and a warm welcome to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio, the world's biggest talk health radio station with me, your presenter Dee Blick. Thank you for joining me. It's lovely to have your company. Now, in the studio today, I have an entrepreneur who is successful on his own terms by being open, welcoming and inclusive. He inspires his franchisees because he leads by example and he has a permanent thirst for learning, which means he welcomes any opportunity for personal growth. I'm delighted to welcome Richard Clark to the show, the franchisor of the Pets, Homes and Gardens Company. Welcome, Richie.
Thank you so much for having me, Dee. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you, lovely. And I'm going to get stuck in straight away with all the questions that I've been pontificating over in the last few days. I think the first thing is, just for our lovely listeners, is tell me a bit about yourself and your career before you bought a franchise.
Yeah, no problem at all. I would say the two loves that I've always had are working with people and have a real passion for animals. And that really all stemmed from my strong relationship I had with my grandparents. They were animal lovers. They rescued dogs. And of course, I had a lot to do with them in looking after the dogs with them, joining them on their walks. My late grandfather was actually described by neighbours as the dog whisperer because all of the dogs would just gravitate towards him. And I think that's where my love really came from. But not only that, my grandparents were business owners. They owned a newsagents in Portsmouth. I don't know if anyone knows Commercial Road in Arundel Street, but that was the one. And at the age of 13, they allowed me on a Saturday job to start working with them from midday to 4 p.m. And that really was a pivotal moment for me in terms of my development, because I was quite shy. You know, beyond speaking to my friends and family, I'd never really spoken to other people, general members of the public. And it allowed me, operating the till, to speak to different kinds of people. And, you know, I developed my customer service skills, my people skills. And I think that moment was really where my love of working with people came from. So that set the foundation, I feel, for everything that followed. So following that, I worked very hard in my education. So at GCSEs, A level and degree. Always was, you know, had lovely family, obviously my parents, my grandparents, my friends, you know, they all supported me because they knew I was the determined person, always put my all in everything. Managed to get a first class tourism management degree, which I was really proud of. And I kind of described that as a business degree with tourism examples. Love travel. Not that I've done too much of it, but I'd like the thought of doing it. And I'm sure the opportunity will come in the future to do lots of traveling. So following that, I looked at was in various employed roles. And the goal really was to work for a major travel company, you know, almost justifying the degree that I had. So it all sort of the various jobs that I had in sort of data analytic roles and customer service roles all sort of led to me working for a major cruise line company as a business analyst, which in my mind I framed as the dream job. It was a great company, lovely people that I worked with, but unfortunately it just wasn't right for me, which was a real disappointment because I worked so hard to get that job. There were all sorts of tests that you had to do and it was challenging. But no, really, following that, it allowed me to realise that actually I want to work for myself and I want to follow my passions, which was, of course, working with animals.
Oh, I love that. And I was just thinking about how wonderful for you having grandparents that had rescue dogs, and that must have been such a wonderful aspect of your upbringing. And also, I mean, a first class degree, that is not to be sniffed at. First class degrees are not handed out like sweets. I remember when I, back in the day, when I did my degree, I was saying to my husband last night that only one or two people in that year got a first class degree. So that is just quite amazing. And I just wondered that you're obviously an entrepreneurial person. You've got this great background with rescue dogs. You've got a first class degree. You've been working in customer service and business analytics. Why did you invest in a franchise business when you could have gone alone and started your own pet walking, pet sitting business?
I think one of the things I realised and learned about myself is I've always done well when there's structure. I'm very methodical as a person. And initially, the plan was to go out on my own, but it was quite overwhelming doing all of the research and looking online. I was Googling various things, including the cost of setting up a dog walking and pet sitting business. And I just purely by chance stumbled across the PHG franchise, the Pets Homes and Gardens franchise, and the joining fee was great. And it, you know, of course, when I realised there was a blueprint there that would allow me to get a solid business in place under what looked like a marvellous brand, very friendly and inviting, I thought, no, this is absolutely me. It will give me the structure I need to get, a really decent business off the ground.
I mean, that's really interesting. And I thought, just for the benefit of listeners, because not everybody's au fait with a franchise, but you mentioned a blueprint. Could you share a bit more about what the blueprint was or is?
Absolutely. The blueprint within a franchise really gives you everything you need, all of the tools, systems and guidance to get your business set up and also continue to run efficiently moving forward. So it gives you a business startup checklist, you know, all of the different things that you need. It allows you to perform all of the marketing activities that you need to do to find new customers. And it's also about the operational delivery as well. So with regards to the services that we offer as dog walkers, pet sitters, house sitters, you've got a clear, shall we say, blueprint in terms of how those services should be delivered under the PHG brand. And of course, with PHG, it's all about exceptional pet care.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I think that often I've got quite a bit of experience in franchising. And what I find is sometimes a franchisee will buy this blueprint or business in a box or however it's described. And what I don't think they realise is they have to invest energy into actually getting the customers. Unless I know there are some franchisees where they've got a central helpline and then they allocate leads, but they're rare indeed. And even if they do that, you still have to dig deep and find those customers. And so that's something that I've often found when I've worked with franchisees, they're a bit like rabbits in the headlights saying, I've bought this business and I've got to go out and get customers. I didn't realise that. And that's one of the hard lessons to learn, that I agree that the great thing about a franchise is it's proof of concept, that the franchisor has shown that this particular model works. And so it really does sort of eliminate a lot of the guesswork. And I think what I want to ask you now is a pet business, there's both a commercial appeal and there's a heart tug, and I just wondered what was the commercial appeal of a pet business and what was the heart tug appeal of actually having your own pet business?
So the commercial side of it was brilliant, because I knew, you know, I've said, out of all of the friends and family I have, I think most of them have a pet. So when I actually researched, you know, the industry properly, you could see that, you know, certainly in today's world, it's around about £9 billion, the pet sector in the UK, in terms of consumer spending. And around about 60% of households, it's estimated in the UK, own at least one pet. So I think the mentality of many pet owners nowadays is pets are family. They're not animals, they are family. And I can absolutely relate to that, because they're such special, wonderful parts of the family, and you want to do right by them. So that was the commercial side of it. And for me, the heart tug appeal was that that's my passion. You know, working with animals, it was a no-brainer for me to go into the pet care industry. The thought of working hands-on with animals every day. It was a dream come true for me. And I knew that that's the path I had to go. The moment I stopped thinking I have to go into the tourism industry because of my degree is the moment things changed for me, because it was like, nope, follow your passion, do what you love. And and 8 years in, where we still run our local business in Southampton, we're still enjoying it as much as we did from, you know, in the very first week we joined. It's fantastic.
You know, I love that. And what I think came out there, it's heart over head, isn't it? That we really have to buy into what we are doing. So if we buy into what we're doing, we'll take the rough, we'll take the smooth, and we'll just cope with it every day. Because the bottom line is, we put our head on the pillow and we just know that we absolutely are getting so much out of what we were doing. And before we go to the break, I just wondered, though, you're talking about your grandparents and the challenging dogs. We've got a minute before the break. Just tell me, did that particularly appeal to you, that with your own pet sitting business, that you were also willing to take on challenging dogs?
It did, yes. I think, and that was, again, a massive influence from my granddad. He was so good with all sorts of dogs. And I think it gave me that confidence as well, because he would always teach me, okay, in this instance, you do this, and in that instance, you do that. So, no, I was very keen to take those challenges on. And I think the number one thing for us is, you know, we do have trial periods when we take on new dogs. And as long as there's no aggression there, because some of our work does involve group walks, we do have to take risk into mind. But you know, in terms of challenging, if they're slightly boisterous as puppies, we're very much able to take those challenges on, and we enjoy every second of that as well.
I love that. Now, don't go away. We're coming up to a short break. And after the break, I'm going to be talking to Richie about why and how he made that quite big leap from being a franchisee to actually taking over the entire franchisor. And I'm going to be fascinated to find out of any mindset shifts that he went from being the E to the OR, as I say. Back in a minute.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Hello and welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me. And I've got the lovely Richie Clark, the franchisor of the Pets Homes and Garden Company, in the studio today. Now, Richie, 2025 was a pretty big year for you, because you made what I would say is a flipping massive leap from being the franchisee to the franchisor. Tell us more.
Yes, it was such it's almost a dream. I thought, no, I'm going to wake up from this in a second. It just didn't seem real when the opportunity was presented from Peter and Judy, the founders of the franchise, to us, for which we will always be grateful, by the way. They're incredible people, and they were big shoes to step into. You know, they're amazing entrepreneurs, and the opportunity when it was presented before us was just one that we had to take, because we fell in love with the PHG brands the moment we came across it. Everything about it just felt like us, you know, very welcoming and inviting. So for me, it was a case of you have to take these opportunities when they come, because they will never have an opportunity like this again. Amber and I discussed it, and at the time, Amber was working sort of part-time at John Lewis, helping me run the business part-time. She made a decision actually to resign from her job and to help me run PHG full-time, which then gave us the confidence that now actually, yes, we will be able to do the brand justice, you know, as franchisors. So it was a very, very exciting time.
Was there any sort of feel the fear and do it anyway? Did that go through your mind? Like, what are we've got to do it, but what are we doing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've got PHG. I mean, when I joined in 2018, there were lots of franchisees, and they're still here today. I mean, they're incredible people. And there was that fear of, oh no, I hope everyone doesn't leave when we take over, you know, because it's an important thing to for people to realize that we really do care. Not just, of course, there's the animal welfare side, but as franchisors, we care about every single franchisee. And that was an important thing for us to demonstrate the moment we got in there, was to meet everybody in person. And yeah, it was lovely to see them because they have the same passion as Amber and I for animals. So it was a real proud moment knowing that we're all part of the same PHG family with that same shared passion. It was very exciting, but as you say, initially quite scary as well.
I can imagine so. And I wondered, how did your franchisees react? Because you've gone from being one of them to, in effect, the boss.
Yes, no, they were incredibly supportive. And I cannot thank them enough for that, actually, because it certainly helped put our nerves at ease. Because I always say a bit of nerves is a good thing because it makes you do the right thing at all times. And the nerves are always still slightly there because you want to make sure you give the best support to your franchisees. But no, every single last franchisee were just so welcoming, so friendly, extremely encouraging. And they even said themselves, if there's anything you need from us, let us know. And that was just such a wonderful thing to offer because, of course, in the early days, you're finding your feet, and to have that kind of encouragement really helped massively, just so we can get settled into the franchise. And 10 months in, we've met every single franchisee. Some of them we've met two or three times, and we're at our happiest we could ever be.
I love that, and that is such a positive story. And I'm sure as well that the fact that you were one of them means that you got to know these people individually. And I know from conversations we've had how you were such a hands-on and helpful franchisee to others, and so you had a track record, they knew your character, and I would imagine that played a massive part in the fact that you were adopted with open arms and with really enthusiasm. But I think I want to focus now on the fact that you're now a leader. You know, you've gone from being led to being a leader, and there must have been mindset shifts when you became a franchisor. You can't be the franchisee mindset, if you like. I'd really like to know what those mindset shifts were that enabled you to really fill the shoes that Julie and Peter, who were the original owners, left behind.
Absolutely. And for me, and I know Amber agrees with this as well, there's very much a heightened sense of responsibility because now, of course, animal welfare is at the centre of what PHG stands for. So now it's a case of, right, every single franchisee we know absolutely delivers on that. They're incredible. So the sense of responsibility from us comes in the way we deliver our support, which, you know, in my mind has to be top notch, because it's important that we inspire as a leader. You know, we've got a very, very turbulent environment at the moment, economically, politically, technologically. And I think the beautiful thing about this industry is it's very stable. But when you hear the news, it can be all doom and gloom. And it's important as a leader that you inspire and you motivate. And that's something I love doing anyway. You know, I've had various opportunities in the past in various roles and at university to lead. And I absolutely love it. But of course, it was a while since I led. So it was trying to go back to those roots and sort of demonstrate those qualities again, but in a very natural way. And I think it's a case of demonstrating you as a person, you know, not trying to be someone you're not, but being a leader that can inspire and lead from the front as well, where we're still running PHG Southampton. But one other thing I did just want to mention is it's very important that if we take new franchisees on, they align with the values of PHG, which, of course, are passion for animals, pride in what you do in terms of, you know, you've got to be trustworthy, reliable, really take a huge sense of pride in what you do, but also have that empathy for the pets and their owners. And if they align with that, then great, you're welcome into the PHG family. So we've got a sense of responsibility for existing franchisees to make sure that as the brand grows, they're very much the same people that come into the family moving forwards.
I love that. And you know what, Rich, when you're talking about being a leader, so much now, for me, when I look at leaders, what do I admire about them? It's not that they are belting out speeches on the stage with loud music booming in the background and being frightening. I just think being an authentic person, being relatable, being empathetic, and also having that vision which you talked about, you know, sharing your vision, sharing where you want to take this remarkable brand, because you bring your franchisees on side with you. If they're inspired by you, but they also can see that you are relatable, that they can come to you, that to me is the best sort of leader. And I'm so pleased that when I look back over my career, that some of the leaders, they really frightened me and I was terrified to say anything. They were so overbearing. And I'm really pleased that now with my show Lead Well, Live Well, I'm getting the opportunity to give airtime to truly remarkable leaders that lean into their authenticity, that tap into their relatable side, that whilst they're not afraid to be a great visionary and to motivate, they're also not afraid to show when they haven't got it right and they put like a little siren up for help. And so I really enjoyed you saying that. And we've got a minute now to the next break. And I just wanted to ask you, is it more challenging to be a franchisor than a franchisee?
Oh, that's a great question, Dee. And I would say they're both have separate challenges. And as a franchisor, the challenge there is to inspire and for them to have the peace of mind that we are there to support them and that we value them, which we absolutely do, because every last one of the franchisees are incredible people and excellent at what they do. But yes, it's a challenge very much so. And it's one that we embrace, because I think you've got the twofold components of nerves and you're feeling the challenge. And actually, that has driven us to do the best possible job we can. So I think the challenge is very much there, but we're embracing it and we're using that energy to inject into the support we provide to our franchisees moving forward. So it's a very exciting time.
I think it's great. And I think your open attitude, as I said at the start of the show, you're one of the people that I've met in my journey through life, that you are so open to learning, you're so open to change and to embracing, that you're reaping the rewards of it. Because having that mindset means it's permanently open. You're always open to challenging yourself, but also to inspiring others. And that now brings us to the second break. Please don't go away, because after the break, I'm going to be asking Richie, who inspires him to deliver his best, his ambitions for Pets Homes and Gardens. And I'm also going to be flipping that switch and getting Richie to ask me a question that I haven't got a clue what it is. So back in a jiffy.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, and the lovely Richie Clark, who's in the studio today. Richie, I'm going to ask you now, you know, how would you describe yourself as a leader? I was waffling on before the break about what I thought great leader was, but I'm asking you the direct question. How would you describe yourself as a leader?
Oh, it's a really great question, Dee. And I remember back in the day all the theories around leadership. And I remember looking at that thinking, I don't think I fit into any single one of those brackets. Maybe I overlap some of them. And I think it all comes back to what you were saying, really, about two things. If I would say two words I would use is authentic and approachable. You know, I'm myself as a leader with the view to inspire and to encourage our franchisees to be the best that they can be and to enjoy what they do in the delivery of their pet care services. And also as well, me to turn up as the person I am, authentic. Because I think people can see through, if you're not being yourself, people can see that immediately. And the authentic side of it for me is critical. And my wife Amber is the same. And when we often meet franchisees together as well, and we complement each other, and we have our own, shall we say, styles, but they work well. And as a result, we managing to form these lovely relationships with our franchisees, and we get on incredibly well. But there's also that what I'm sensing is they're inspired and they're fired up to do the best that they can do as well, and to continue enjoying what they do. Because for us as leaders, the number one thing we want from our franchisees is for them to enjoy what they do. Because I know from my previous roles that when I didn't enjoy it, I wasn't my best. But when you enjoy what you do, it's amazing the things you can achieve.
I absolutely love that about making sure that the people that are around you are enjoying what they do. I think people are truly short-sighted if they forget that the people that are working with them or for them or that are part of their business, if they're not happy, they're not going to give of their very best. Whereas if they're loving what they do, it will put them in that growth mindset. It makes them more open to constructive feedback. It makes them more open to pushing themselves to be their very best too, because they can see that in this inclusive and welcoming atmosphere, they are going to be nurtured. Which leads me nicely onto my next question, which is, what or who inspires you to deliver your best?
Oh, I love that question, Dee. And I think it's multifaceted, really, in the sense that I always think back to my roots of my grandparents. My late grandfather, love him to pieces. And I just wish he was here today to see where we are, at the moment. And, that sort of foundation for the support my granddad provided me is really a massive inspiration. My grandmother, she's 91 years old, living in Portsmouth. I'm going to see her tomorrow, actually. She is a massive inspiration as well. And she keeps saying, if your granddad was here, he'd be so proud of you. They are a massive inspiration. So are my parents and my family. But equally as well, everybody within the franchise, we say the PHG family, which are essentially the franchisees of PHG, they're a big inspiration, because when I meet them, it really fires me up, and it does Amber as well, to see the work that they do. And we actually join them as well on their dog walks, on their cat visits, on their various other services, and to see how they do it with such competence, such care, and such professionalism, that fires me up big time. And it's really a big inspiration behind what we plan to do with the franchise moving forwards, in terms of providing the best support we can to the PHG family.
I was listening to that, and when you were talking about your granddad and your grandma, it really took me back to my Auntie Mary. And my mum and dad got divorced when I was 8, and I had quite a challenging childhood. And my Auntie Mary, I always think she was a port in the storm and I was the struggling wayfarer. And it was like I would go to her house every Sunday, and I was like entering into this blissful universe of calm, of order, no shouting, no judgment, just empathy and support. And I look back and think of all the people in my life that have really played a pivotal role in shaping me for the better. It was my Auntie Mary and also my brother Drew. But she was the one that when my parents got divorced, she was always there, and such a gentle woman. I'm quite a firecracker. I'm either up, I'm down, I can be all over the shop. But with my Auntie Mary, she just had this magical quality of straightening out, almost untangling the knots in my mind. And so I love that you speak with such warmth and affection about your granddad and your amazing grandma. And I want to now pivot back to Pets, Homes and Gardens and just share with us for a minute or so, what are your ambitions? And you're this really fabulous new world leader, and you've painted the most beautiful picture of the relationship you have with your franchisees, your love of animals. And I'm fortunate that although we haven't known each other very long, that I've had a really strong sense of your character and what a great leader you are. And I'm sure that this funnels into your ambitions for Pets, Homes and Gardens. So tell me, what are they?
Yeah, so I would say that they come in various forms. So at franchise level, so from as franchisors, as the leaders, our ambition there is to continue to drive that support, because in anything that you do, I always feel there's room for improvement. It doesn't matter how good the existing support is. We are always there to try and improve it and to better it. And our ambition, Amber and I, as the franchisors of PHG, is to provide the best support you could possibly get in terms of growing your business, delivering your services, marketing your services, communicating with your customers. It's going to be a real multifaceted engine in terms of the support we provide. And we're very much getting there now. And it feels that there's a massive advantage at hand, in the sense that we were franchisees ourselves, and we continue to run PHG Southampton. So that is very much driving and shaping the support we provide. So that's at the franchise level. And at the brand level, it's quite simple, really. And that's to be the most trusted name in pet care within the areas we serve. Because, of course, we're not a big franchise there, but I love that. Because I think it's a close-knit franchise where we all have excellent relationships. You know, the support we provide is hands-on. So in the areas that we serve, it's to be the most trusted name in pet care. And I genuinely feel that, you know, with the franchisees I've met, they absolutely, with the customers, have earned the trust. And the reviews are exceptional. The amount of word of mouth they get with new business is amazing. And I just feel that to become the most trusted name in pet care within our respective locations is very achievable with the amazing franchisees we have.
You know, I love that. I love that you've got this grassroots ambition, which is to continue to nurture your franchisees. But equally, you've got this big, laudable vision of really wanting to be that universally trusted name. And I just know that you're going to get there, because you are ambitious for the right reasons. You're not talking, money's important, absolutely, but you're not driven by the money. You're driven by real purpose, real passion, wanting to be the best, and inevitably the money follows. And so we're now coming into the part of the show where I want you to share a quote that inspires you to dig deep and deliver your best, and then you're going to ask me a question.
No problem, Dee. I really love this question as well, actually, because I'm a quote man. You know, quotes have really got me through some tough times in the past. They really have. And there were a few that I was looking at. But if I were to go with one to get me through the day-to-day challenges of life in general as well, and of course, running a business, that quote would be, "One day or day one, you decide." And that was from Brazilian author Paulo Coelho. And he is that quote just resonates with me, because, you know, it's very easy to procrastinate, especially in today's world where you've got social media, you've got all of this entertainment at your fingertips that can make it very difficult for you to actually progress forward with your goals and your ambitions. It doesn't necessarily need to be business goals. It could be health goals. It could be any other goal. If you've got that quote in mind, one day or day one, you decide, maybe you switch it from one day to day one and you just start. You don't have to go and hit the ground running. You can just start in small bite-sized chunks. And before you know it, as you start building on that, you'll see the success. And that's what I'm seeing, is you just got to go for it. Take the opportunities that come your way and turn it from one day to day one.
Oh, gosh, I love that. And I think I love a little bite-sized nugget like that. And I think that's something that so many of our listeners will embrace. What's your question for me?
Oh, I've been looking forward to this one, Dee. I think it's, you've inspired me on this front massively, actually, with your book and with the conversations that we've had. The question I've got for you is, what would your advice be for people who have all this potential and they dream of, you know, achieving a goal, whether it be setting up a business or getting a promotion at work or pushing forward with a goal, but they have an immense level of fear holding them back? What would be your advice to them so they can actually break through that barrier and actually start to realize their dreams and their ambitions?
Wow, gosh, I think the first thought that springs to mind, and this is interesting because I was talking about this yesterday to a group of doctors. I did a a 90-minute masterclass to a group of doctors that are looking at alternative careers. And I think, first of all, it's to give yourself permission to be great. Now, that might sound a little bit, what is she on about? But I truly believe that what holds us back is not our lack of talent and lack of ability. It's lack of faith in our ability. So I'm a great believer in reading books on the subject, as you know, the likes of Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. But I think it's just really being honest with yourself and talking about what's really at root of holding me back. Is it that I've got into my comfort zone and I just need to push myself out of it? Or is it fear? Am I dressing up, you know, fear as playing it safe? And I think we need to start being honest with ourselves, because at the root of so much inertia with talented people, particularly when we're moving from a position of, say, employment to starting our own business, it's the fear that we won't make it. The other thing is that recognizing it is important, talking about it. And this is where I was talking this to the doctors yesterday, finding community, finding people that will bolster you, that will boost you, that will encourage you and uplift you. The value of community and finding like-minded people is so important, whether it's your friends or members of your family. Like with me, it was my Auntie Mary, it was you, your granddad and your grandma. It's finding people that won't squash your dreams, but they will encourage them. And when you're faltering, they will lift you up. And so that is my really first response to that, because the actual setting up of a business you can do, it's dealing with all the head stuff. And that's certainly me over the years, that whenever, and I've shared this before on the show, whenever I've been asked to do something that requires me stepping out of my comfort zone, my first reaction is yes. Sorry, it's no. My first reaction is no. And then I say yes. And in my head, I might be thinking, no, no, no. But my mouth will say yes, and I will figure out the plan. And invariably, it means talking to people that I respect and getting their encouragement. So that's the answer I wanted to give you to that, Rich. I don't know what you think about that.
Oh, thank you, Dee. I think that's brilliant. And it's I think giving yourself permission to go forward with it anyway, you know, say yes, and then it sort of, you know, figure out the plan after you say yes. It makes sense. And in fact, it's an approach I've started to take recently. And it's, you know, for example, saying yes to this fantastic opportunity, by the way, which I'm grateful for, you know, and I'm loving every second of it. So actually the fear is always going to be there. And I think what I'm learning is fear is a good thing. And, Yeah, it's important to take those leaps sometimes, and I think the strategies you shared there are going to, you know, be immensely helpful to your listeners. So thank you so much for that, Dee.
Thanks, lovely. And I think what I've always said is acting in spite of the fear. Acknowledge it's there, diminish its impact however you can, whether it's reading books, finding community, talking about it, or a heady mix of all of that. But act in spite of the fear, and know that when you start doing the unfamiliar, it quite quickly becomes familiar. So, Richie, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been absolutely lovely chatting with you.
Oh, thank you, Dee, for having me. I've loved every second, and can't thank you enough for this wonderful opportunity.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being here. Oh, that was a lovely chat with Richie, wasn't it? And now I want to turn the attention onto you with my final thoughts for today. And I think I was asked by, it was Lucy Pitts on the second show, you know, how I'd managed to build a successful career as a marketer and an author that sold thousands of books worldwide. And I replied, my answer is that I'm a curious person. I love digging deep and finding the answers to the many questions that I ask and then putting them to good use. And I want to ask you today, how does curiosity show up for you? Does it help you to understand customers more deeply, so you can get to the heart of their needs? Does it help you to make sense and know more about a project and add your well-thought-out opinions and research, and in doing so, play a pivotal role in the project? Does curiosity improve your decision-making because you're renowned as a gatherer, a person wanting to explore the alternatives? Does your curiosity make you relatable and human because you ask questions, instead of pretending to know all the answers. I am sure that, like me, you are a curious person, and I encourage you to acknowledge this underrated but such important trait. It's just simply the art of wanting to know more and then going out of your way to find the answers. I really want to thank you for joining me today. You can message me on LinkedIn and Facebook. Now, I did say in previous shows that I wanted to hear from you. And I had a lovely listener, Rachel Parnell, a fitness trainer from a company called Elevate Fitness. She sent me a lovely comment about my first interview with Lucy Pitts. She loved the interview and she identified with the feelings of imposter syndrome. I think she'd been given her first writing assignment for a well-known website. Rachel, I hear you. I've been there, I've done that, and I've worn that old imposter syndrome t-shirt. It's not a bad thing to have, but again, it's just about managing it and realizing that we are quite magnificent. So thank you so much for joining me today. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to step into your circle of power and bask in the spotlight. With much love from me.
You've been listening to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio.